We're in Acts chapter 2 this morning. We're going to take a brief departure from our study in Ephesus. We'll read chapter 2, first four verses. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. This is a special day in the history of the church when we celebrate the birthday of the church. This is the day that the church began. The word Pentecost itself, from the original language, simply means the 50th day. And the way the Jewish people celebrated this particular holiday, and it was a feast that the Jewish people were actually commanded by God to celebrate, is it came on the first day of the week after the seventh Sabbath, after the Passover. That's just the way they counted it. Now, some of you perhaps grew up in a church, have heard this word, the day of Pentecost, or you may have heard of a group of churches called Pentecostal churches. We don't have time today to get into all the details of what that means, but basically Pentecost was one of several Jewish feasts that the Jewish people were commanded by God to celebrate. You can read about it at home, write down Leviticus chapter 23. In the Adult Bible Hour a few years back, we studied this in detail, and so there's a lot of historical information there. Also, this was part of the spring harvest in Israel. Israel typically would have two harvests because the climate there is very similar to Southern California. They would have a spring harvest of wheat and barley, and they would have a fall harvest. Today, in some areas of the world, you have a spring or a fall harvest, and in some places you have two, just like Israel did. And after Passover, after the 7 weeks had gone by, the part of this ceremony was that the Jewish people, they would gather together, they would bring sacrifices to God, and they would take a little bit, they would bring a small sample of what was growing in their field. Usually it was either barley or it was spring wheat. And they would bring a little bit of this as an offering to the Lord. And so this harvest or this ingathering or this harvesting of these first pieces of produce that was being grown was called the harvest of the first fruits, even though they may not be ripe yet or ripe for harvesting. And what this did was symbolically they were first of all thanking God for a future harvest that would come later on during the year. They were praying to God that God would send rain, because just like in Southern California, we have very little rain. We might have some rain this week, but generally it's pretty dry in California and it's pretty dry in Israel, except for the month of April when they have their spring rains. And so the spring rain was very important that the final harvest would be plentiful, that they would have enough grain to make it through the winter months, pretty much like you would find in most cultures a couple hundred years ago, before we had modern farming techniques and refrigeration and ability to go to Ralph's on the corner and buy whatever you want in the middle of a winter night. And so the Jewish people would bring their sacrifices to God, and a portion of the first fruits. In the very same way, when the church began, this is what God symbolically is showing to us. We read that when Jesus ascended, he told his disciples to wait till the Holy Spirit would come. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would teach them all the things that Jesus had taught them for 3 years. The Holy Spirit would give them definition and clarity and meaning. Many things the apostles and the disciples and the early people in the church did not fully understand. As we're working our way through Ephesians, many times Paul uses the expression, I, as the apostle of God, was given a revelation from God to explain to you the mysteries of God. A mystery from God is not something that is mysterious. It's simply something that in the Old Testament was not understood by the Jewish people. The Jewish people in the Old Testament had no concept, no idea that God would form a church of Jewish and non-Jewish people. They thought that only Jewish people could get saved, and they had this mentality about Gentiles, that Gentiles could not be saved. And part of Leviticus chapter 23, when you read it, you will see that there were different types of grains that were brought and offered to the Lord. Symbolic what in the New Testament, in the church, you would have both Jewish and non-Jewish people part of this one new body that is called the church. And so the apostles or the disciples are waiting here in chapter 2, and this occurs. And without, there's a lot that we could talk about here in these four verses, but I want to bring your attention today to two words. And the words that we're going to look at is wind and fire, because these are symbolic of God, and they're symbolic of what God was doing with this new organization called the church. Wind in the Old Testament oftentimes was symbolic of God, the Holy Spirit. When we read Genesis chapter 1 and we read that first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it goes on and it says that the Spirit of God or the breath of God was hovering over the waters, creating and forming everything that was there. In the Hebrew language, the word is ruah. And what that literally means is you have to take a breath before you can pronounce the word. It takes a certain amount of pronunciation to say it. Remember, in chapter 2 of Genesis, God takes the dust of the earth that he created, and he makes the form of a body, the form of Adam. But Adam's body is simply laying there on the ground, even though God had formed it. And it says that God breathed into Adam life, living breath. And the word literally in the Hebrew language means one breath. Take one breath and hold it. And how long can you hold it? You know, if we don't breathe, if we lose consciousness, if we can't breathe for more than several minutes, we get brain damage and we eventually die if the body cannot breathe, if the heart is not breathing. What's interesting is God breathed into Adam a breath of life that would continue breath by breath, and man became a living soul. But man is dependent on each little breath to fill his lungs to live his life. Now, who gave Adam that first breath? Was it just one little breath that God had? Absolutely not. God is one big eternal breath. The word ruah means one, united, no breaking up. So God gives to man just a portion, a little bit of his breath, but God himself is the source of life, the creator, the one that does not need to breathe on a constant basis. And all these words are simply given to us to demonstrate to us with human language some of the characteristics of God. And so in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is symbolic of God himself, or God the Holy Spirit, and man is dependent upon God for our every life, for our physical breath. Every single breath we take, if you stop breathing, you will die. Spiritually speaking, of course, we understand that Adam also, when he sinned, he died. And through the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which we touched on a little bit in the first hour, we can obtain this eternal life and be in the presence of God. All of this is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the day of Pentecost came, it says that it was visible with this word wind, which is symbolic that God is now going to create something spiritual. In Genesis 1, God created the world and God created Adam and Eve as physical beings. Now God is creating a spiritual body. His body, the church, made up of many different people, both Jewish and not Jewish. And it takes the power of God, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. This is what God had promised in the Old Testament. Read the prophecy of Joel when you go home today. And you will see that this was predicted and prophesied by the prophet that this would happen. And so we see that although we explain things using words that we as humans understand, the Holy Spirit is not a wind. It's not a breath that blows, but it was like a wind. This is something that we can understand, this word. Secondly, let's look at the word fire. You know, fire also in the Old Testament is a representation. It's symbolic of what? It's symbolic of the presence of God. Do you remember God appears to Moses in a burning bush? You remember when God leads Israel? He leads them to Sinai. And when the people saw God speaking in fire, they were scared and they were terrified to death. And they tell Moses, you go and you talk to God. And if you come back alive, then he can tell us what God told to you. But it brought fear to the people. But the presence of God in the form of a fire led Israel for 40 years. When the temple was built, fire was symbolic of the presence of God. And so we see that in the New Testament. We see that the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is visible here on the day of Pentecost when they're gathered together in obedience and God forms the church. Now, the people that were there in that morning, they did not get saved that day. They were already saved before that. This is simply the formation of the church. And so when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we are talking about is the Holy Spirit. He takes sinners, he saves them, he regenerates them, he gives them life, he gives them spiritual breath, if we can use that expression, and he identifies the sinners with this new body, this body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. Next Sunday, we're going to have baptism here, water baptism that is symbolic of new life. You go into the water and you get immersed in the water. You identify through water, through this process, with the same thing that the Holy Spirit does when he identifies us, when he unites us with his church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply the Holy Spirit regenerating us and making us a part of the body of Christ, adding us or cementing us or attaching us to his body. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what happens when we get saved. It is a one-time event. It happens one time in our life. It happens the day you are saved. After that, you get what we find here in chapter 2. It says that these disciples, having already been saved, they already had the Holy Spirit in their lives. It was evident in their ministry. But now they were filled, or they were filled with the Holy Spirit and given power, Jesus says, to go to the ends of the world and be witnesses for Jesus. That is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you read Ephesians chapter 5, when you read Colossians chapter 3, it says to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Word of God. What is the result? The result is you sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to each other, ministering to each other and to the world around us the good news of the Word of God. And the result of the wind and the fire here in chapter 2, the result of the apostles receiving power from God is that they became witnesses. Peter gets up on that day and immediately, he's no longer shy. He no longer says, I never knew Jesus. Now he gets up and he immediately boldly proclaims, you nailed the Messiah to the cross. And God works through the Word. God works with his Holy Spirit through Peter. And 3,000 people get added to the church that day. That was the birthday of the church. And ever since, Scripture tells us God adds to the church daily those people that get saved. But they get saved as a result of us, the saved people, the members of his church, being filled and empowered and going out and ministering the word of salvation, the word of grace to those people that have never heard the word of God. This is just very briefly, go home and study this in more detail, but just kind of a synopsis of this wonderful day in the life, not only of our church today, but in the history of the church that began 2,000 years ago. Amen.